Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the new prophetic news. So we're trying out our new equipment. Let me know if you can hear me, because I have a new microphone, and we're upgrading our broadcast, praise the Lord. So we're trying to make things better, trying to improve the sound and the quality, so we can move forward, because in the last few months with the new edition of Rapture Ready Radio and this broadcast, we've increased our listenership by about 8,000 people. So that's quite a good number. And we're hoping to improve. That's including the other listeners that we've had, many thousands of listeners. But like I said, in the last, about the last 2 or 3 months, we've managed to take on about 8,000 new listeners with the incorporation of our program on Rapture Ready Radio. And that's the network that Jackie Alnor runs, and she has different ministers on every day on her network, so you can check them out too on Blog Talk Radio. And so let me know. I don't see any posts in the chat room. How is it coming across there? Can somebody put a message in the chat room and let me know how it sounds? It sounds good to me, but of course, I don't know what you're hearing. So if you can let me just put a little chat note in there, let me know if you can hear me. But anyway, we have a great program for you today. We're going to talk about Jerry Falwell Jr. Now, for some of us that have been around for a while, we know the ministry of Jerry Falwell Sr. And of course, he passed away. And he was a very, very strict, I would say, Baptist preacher. He started Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. And then he started the Liberty University, which has grown tremendously. I think, now don't quote me exactly, but I think that Liberty University, someone online said they have 100,000 students. Now, that's not just the students that they have going to their, thank you for letting me know, messaging me. Thank you. The mic's working. Okay. So, thank you, Jesus. Anyway, this university, with all the students, with the online students and the students that attend, and they claim that they're training champions for Christ. Now, that's the motto. And now that Jerry Falwell Sr. has passed away, his son, Jerry Falwell Jr., is the chancellor of Liberty University. Now, this is an intelligent man. He is he has a law degree, and he's an intelligent man. And of course, he inherited the ministry from his father. And then his brother Jonathan Falwell is the pastor of the church, Thomas Road Baptist church, and wow, that church has grown too. So it's a big ministry. It's a multi-million dollar ministry. And I was very shocked because I had seen Jerry Falwell Jr. endorsing Donald Trump. Okay, that's okay. He has a right to endorse whoever he wants for president. And he also invited Donald Trump to speak at a convocation of Liberty University, and that their convocation, oh, it's huge. They must have 10,000 or more people in this huge auditorium where they have these convocations. I guess I don't know how many times a week they have those there, but they have them there for the students and the faculty, and it's kind of like a pep rally kind of thing. But anyway, I was shocked when I saw that about a month or 6 weeks ago or whatever, he invites Paula White and her husband, Jonathan Cain Friga. Now, Paula White, her married name is Paula Friga, because that's Jonathan Cain Friga's real name. He's not Jonathan Cain. That's not his legal name. That's his rock and roll name. And of course, we know that Paula White was married to Randy White, and they're divorced. So she's not Paula White. She's not Paula White Cain. She's Paula Friga, but she won't call herself that. But anyway, that's her name. So they invite these two there. Now, I can never imagine that Jerry Falwell Sr. would ever have anything to do with Paula White, because Paula White Cain Friga, she is not what we would call mainstream Christianity. She's fringe. She's not a Christian. She's not a Christian. And my new basis, and it's not really new, I think we've always judged Christians by their fruit, by their actions. What Jesus said, that you would know them by their fruit, right? So we have a right to judge people by their fruit. And the way I judge a real Christian and a real ministry is by how they conduct themselves, especially in the area of finances. Because if they don't have any integrity in the area of finances, then they don't have integrity. They're basically, they're liars and scam artists. And Paula White is one of the chief ones, because I don't know if Jerry Falwell Jr. ever tuned into her program. Does he ever watch her on television? And because almost every program that she does, she's scamming people for money. She's got first fruits offerings. She's got appreciation offerings. You can buy favor from God. She's got Passover offerings. She has Day of Atonement offerings, and all these offerings that she takes. Now, I'm not opposed to ministries taking offerings. If you need an offering and if you want to take up an offering, that's fine. But don't tell people that you're taking up the offering it's going to God, because no, you're taking up the offering for your ministry. Well, the truth, you don't have to lie. But they lie because they have to scam people. They have to promise people that if they give them money, that God will do something for them. Now, I'm going to play some audio clips in a little while, but on one of these audio clips, Paula White, she tells as she's praying for people, and she's telling them to send in this appreciation offering, and she says that, as she's praying, she says, "And I deploy the hand of God." Now, I didn't know that Paula White had control over God. In other words, you give Paula money, And it moves God's hand then to do something for you. And she actually prays. That sounded like a witchcraft prayer to me, because we don't deploy the hand of God. Who gives God orders? He doesn't need our help. Please. Anyway, so Jerry Falwell Jr., he invites these two to his convocation, and I'm sure Senior would never have had anything to do with this mess, that's for sure. And there was an article that came out, many warnings came out before the inauguration of Donald Trump. And these are secular people, a lot of secular people and people, secular news media came out and they were saying to Donald Trump, this woman's a charlatan, she's a huckster. This man, who is a contributor to Fox News, and he also has a website, I think it's called The Resurgent. But anyway, he wrote an article and he basically dissed Trump and said now he's having this heretic imposter woman coming to pray, P-R-E-Y, at his inauguration. So there was many voices out there in opposition, this ridiculous move, really. Who wants to counsel with Jezebel? Who? It didn't turn out very well for Ahab. It didn't turn out very well for Saul when he decided he was going to consult the witch at Endor. So it doesn't, it's not going to turn out well either for Donald Trump to be consulting with Paula White Cain Friga, because she's a Jezebel. She's a heretic. She needs to repent. And that's why we talk about her and the other people. One of the reasons is we hope they repent, give their life over to God. Paula White claims that she's worth $5 million or $6 million. Her husband, current husband, is wealthy. It seems like at least he might have earned his money honestly by writing music and earning a living as a musician. He didn't scam people in the name of Jesus like she did. They can retire and go away and leave the body of Christ alone. Otherwise, repent, because you don't need to scam people to have a ministry. You can have a ministry even without taking up an offering. You can have a ministry if you want one. So why does she have to keep scamming people if she, as she claims, she's already so rich and her husband is rich on his own? So just go away, you know, buy a house in Hawaii and retire and leave people alone, because there isn't any amount of money in the world that you could give to any preacher that is going to move the hand of God. That doesn't happen, because we can't buy anything from God. All we have to do is ask. It's free for the asking. So I say, and this is a movement that, and the Reformation that we want to see finished after 500 years. This is the 500th year anniversary of the Reformation. And we want to see people say no to scam artist pastors. If your pastor is collecting tithes and telling you that you're cursed if you don't give them, then I would question him. And if he's opposed to you questioning him, then why do you want to stay there? If all they talk about is sowing seeds to get money and collecting 10% of your money because they tell you you're cursed, no. We need to vacate those churches. And hopefully when the money dries up for these people, they'll have to go away. There's nothing wrong with a pastor getting up on Sunday and taking an offering and saying, it's going to the church fund to support, to pay my salary and to pay for the expenses of the church. Just be honest. Don't spiritualize it and make it like if you give this money, God's going to do something for you. He already did enough for you. Jesus died on the cross. What more do you want? He died on the cross. He gave everything he had. The Bible says that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So what more do we want? We have everything we need by asking. We don't have to pay God bribes. And we need to put these preachers out of business and spread the good news that God says he freely gives us all things. So I have a question for Jerry Falwell Jr. Why do you stand up in your as the chancellor of a university which offers master's degrees and PhDs and PhDs and theology, many courses, and I'm going to pull up some of the courses that they offer there. They offer a doctorate degree in apologetics. And yet, he gets up in front of the so-called training champions for Christ there at Liberty University. And he introduces Paula White as a woman of God. And he mocks Eric Erickson, the man that exposed her in his article, and tried to warn Donald Trump about having her representing him at his inauguration. And Jerry Falwell Jr. Mocked him. And he said, how dare he talk about Paula White because she's a woman of God. I want to know now, what woman of God stands up in a pulpit with low-cut dresses on? What woman of God does that exposes herself to her congregation? What woman of God wears a dress that's a slit up the back, all the way up the back? Which woman of God does that? That's what I want to know. Which woman of God tells people to watch porn from the pulpit? From the pulpit on a Sunday morning with families in the audience. It's on video on YouTube. You can see it if you put in go to YouTube and put in Paula White, Another Adulterous Affair. That video comes up and you'll see it for yourself. You'll see her and her husband on a Sunday morning teaching the congregation to watch porn. So, Jerry Falwell Jr., what woman of God does that? What woman of God gets down on her knees on a Thursday night at the church? And there's also a video of that. Gets down on her knees and takes her husband's shoe and sock off and starts kissing his feet. Who does that? Sounds like a Jezebel, because the Bible says in the book of Revelation that Jezebel seduces and causes my people to commit fornication. So, it's crazy. You know, how much crazier can it get in the church where we accept everything? Now, of course, we realize that none of us are perfect. Yeah, we realize that. But when it comes to the Bible, it is written. So we quote what is written, and we don't manipulate people using the Bible to get people to do what we want them to do by using God's word. No, that we don't do, because it is written. So we are to judge if people are telling us the truth about what the Bible says. And the Bible says that we are to be good Bereans and that we're supposed to check things out for ourselves to make sure if it's so. Because then if we don't, we're going to be deceived. And you wind up following these people who don't know God, who don't care about God's people, who use Jesus in a most despicable manner, all for greedy gain. and we want to see it stop. Also, I want to know what woman of God, Paula White, at your church, New Destiny, does infant baptisms, using a Catholic manual, which you did a few weeks ago when you baptized your infant granddaughter, and you used a Catholic baptismal service. Who does that? We don't baptize infants. Who tells the congregation that when you take communion, you're really eating the body and blood of Jesus? Who does that? Because Jesus doesn't live in a wafer. Jesus doesn't live in a wafer. And when we take communion, we do it in remembrance of him. And we thank him for what he did for us, but we're certainly not eating Jesus. So Jerry Falwell Jr., what's up with you? You're running a university where you're training people. You offer degrees in church history and apologetics. Why do you even bother offering these degrees when you don't take a stand for the truth of the Bible, where anybody and anything can come over there to your convocation? I never once heard Jonathan Cain Friga, Paula White's husband, say that he's born again. I've heard him say, he took Jesus in his heart. No, I want to hear that I am born again. That's what I want to hear. I want to know when you were born again. I don't want to know about when you knew Jesus when you were a Catholic going to Catholic school, because we didn't know anything about being born again when we were going to Catholic school. I went to Catholic school. I didn't know anything about being born again or being saved. Nothing. Never heard about it. So anyway, I'm going to play this clip and you'll hear it for yourself. You'll hear Falwell Jr. Making fun of this man, Eric Erickson, for calling Paula White a heretic. Now, let me, let's listen to this first part where he's talking to Paula White's husband. Actually, they're interviewing her husband for a few minutes. I want you to hear this, because the husband, the current husband, claims that when they met in 2011, he was married at the time that they met on an airplane, where she conveniently dropped her book on the floor in front of him, hoping, I guess, that he would pick it up. And he did. And so, he says that they were friends throughout the years, and then when he finally got free of his wife, then he called Paula, and then they got together. That sounds strange, right? Anyway, so here's the clip. It's about 5 minutes.
The song Only the Young, it was destined to be at Kenny's bedside. It was taken off the album. For some reason, they outvoted it, and I never understood why it wasn't on an album until then. So, you know, God has timing, you know, for songs. The song Faithfully, you know, just God gave me that song. Thank you. I was on the road, and it was God's timing to say, John, you're living in the grateful. What do you think? And I said, God, this is what I think. I'm so grateful. And you could say, oh, God, I stand by you. I'm forever yours faithfully. You know, you stand by me. Forever yours, faithfully.
So a guy that wrote Open Arms, Faithfully, and recently you married the great Paula White.
Yes.
And so tell us about just how you guys met, and
oh my gosh,
what's it like being this guy who writes songs that everybody has in their weddings, and then all of a sudden you end up marrying this amazing woman of God. We'd love to hear about how y'all met and your marriage a little bit and what God's been teaching you through that.
We were on Southwest Airlines together, and which we never fly. Neither one of us are crazy about Southwest, but we happened to be on a Southwest plane. I was sitting down with my bandmates. I had filled half the plane with the crew and everything. And she walks on and drops a book. She sits down and drops this big book in the aisle. I pick it up. And the title of the book is Calling in the One. I'm like, okay, she's a psychiatrist. Or she's a writer of some sort. You know, I didn't know it, but I had to ask her. And then she said, no, I'm a pastor. I'm like, you're a pastor? Oh, wow. You know, I'm not in that world. I'm not in that circle. So we spent 2.5 hours comparing notes, and we had so much in common. I couldn't believe it. She, you know, saw. I asked her, since you're a pastor, can you tell me, is it possible for me to get to love Jesus like I loved Jesus when I was a child? Can I get that glow back? Is it possible? And she said, you know, the Lord, you're a deep soul. He wants you. You just don't know it. You haven't listened, but I'll help you, you know. And it was cool.
She was helping
and
him.
We were
right.
Friends for a long time. And then, you know, I went through a kind of a bad marriage and divorce. And my son went into rehab. And Paula's son, of course, had some issues with rehab. And so we compared notes on that. And then I just, you know, finally when I got loose, I called her and I said, are you seeing anybody? And we haven't separated ever since, you know. So it was just love at first sight. I mean, it happens, folks.
Yeah, you were married. It was love at first sight. Yeah.
And she, through her her ministry, through all of her wonderful anointed friends, I want to thank Archbishop Duncan Williams, who's my spiritual father in Ghana. He baptized me, and he married Paula and I on Prayer Mountain. And I met him in London, and I knew he was looking into my soul, being a prophet. And he gave me the assurance that I had what it takes to be the husband of a pastor, because that's a big thing, you know. You have to stand in the gap with the Lord against the enemy. Yeah, amen.
And it's obvious you're growing. You just recently came out with a Christian album, and you listen to those lyrics that have come out of your own life experiences, and it's just such a worshipful experience. Can you tell us a little bit about writing this Christian album? And
I was so blessed last year. The Lord kept downloading lyrics upon lyric upon lyric, and I always write songs with the music first, and these were all things that He wanted me to speak about. And so I went into Scripture, and I made sure they were, because we didn't have the Bible when we were Catholics. You know, I'm just learning. I'm sort of a newbie at the Bible, kid. So anyway, I wanted to make sure my foundation was strong and solid with the Lord. And so some people say, well, the music's innocent. Well, I want it to be innocent. And some of the music that's out there today, I'm not sure if they're singing about their lover or the Lord. I don't know. But there's no mention of Christ or God or anything. And call me old school, okay? And but it was an amazing experience. We made the album in probably a week. It took a week to do, and it was one of the most amazing projects I've been involved with in a long time.
It's a great album. We're going to get to hear a few songs. I know we're also going to get to hear a few Journey songs from you this morning. But, man...
They're like my kids. I always tell people that songs are like kids. Some turn out to be really successful, and some not.
You love all of them.
But you love them all.
Some do better than others.
Some do better than others. And I've got a pretty amazing family right here that I've been blessed with. And, I owe so much to my father.
Yeah. Amen. Man, are you excited about getting to hear some Journey songs and some songs?
Oh, brother. Poor guy. Honestly, poor guy. Like he said, I'm a newbie at the Bible. Yeah, I know. So you're supposed to be the spiritual covering over your wife. Then why don't you tell your wife to stop scamming people for money and earn an honest living? Anyway, let's look at Samuel. 1 Samuel 28, verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul, he consulted with this woman that had a familiar spirit, the witch at Endor. It didn't end well for Saul. So I want to know, Jerry Falwell Jr., why are you consulting with a woman that has a familiar spirit that uses manipulation to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but she does not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Anyway, let's listen to Jerry Falwell Jr. talking about Paula there as he introduces her. They better get a new leadership. I think they've all lost their minds. And the thing is, I have to hand it to Paula, because she is a good manipulator. She is one fine manipulator. She has seduced Jerry Falwell Jr. and his wife. They were all giddy up there laughing, making fun of the man that pointed out Paula White's heresy, mocking him. And wow, she did a good job there. She did a good job mesmerizing Donald Trump, because he's appointed her as the chairman of his Evangelical Advisory Council. Now, if you're going to appoint someone to be the head of an Evangelical Advisory Council, could you please appoint someone that's an evangelical, that knows God, that loves God, that knows the Bible, not a scam artist? I'll tell you what, Paula White once was the pastor of Without Walls Church in Tampa. That church has been bulldozed. It was wiped off the face of the earth. Bankrupt. They filed for bankruptcy in 2014. Randy did, after Paula left it. The church that she pastored in Lakeland, a 10,000-seat church, which they never filled. I don't think they even got 500 people in that building when they pastored it. But that one was sold at a foreclosure auction in 2014, bankrupt. It also has been bulldozed as a sign of God's judgment. So she has managed to resurrect herself and now seems to be going mainstream and has weaseled her way in to places like Liberty University. I want to know, Jerry Falwell Jr., did you ever see Titus? Did you ever read Titus in the King James, Titus 3:10? Let me read that scripture to you, because I'm not sure you ever read it. It says, a man or a woman that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, which means you admonish them. You tell them what their heresy is. You tell them once, you tell them twice, and then if they don't accept it, you reject them. You don't invite them to your university where you're supposedly training champions for Christ to bring their heresy there. Now, I want to know something, Jerry Falwell Jr. and Becky Falwell. Do you want the pastors that you're training there, you're training worship leaders, you're training pastors, as anyone can see if they go to the Liberty University website and you look at the courses that they teach. Oh, they offer many, many courses in ministerial studies and pastoral studies. Do you want your pastors to get up in the pulpit on Sunday morning and tell people that they have to sow seeds of $100 and $1,000 to get God's hand to move? Is that the kind of pastors you want to train up over there? Do you allow your professors at your university to teach such doctrines of demons there? Because you know it's a doctrine of demons, right? I think the degrees at the university, and do any of the professors there that sat in on that convocation that day, don't you have a voice? You can't speak out, or are you afraid of losing your job there at Liberty? Would you teach such things? I doubt it. I doubt it. Let's hear Paula. Let's hear Paula here teaching on an appreciation offering. But now we have to give God appreciation offerings. We have to come to church or look at a preacher on TV and we have to send them some money so we can show God that we appreciate him. I never saw one person in any gospel, when Jesus walked the earth, I never saw one person that ever went up to Jesus with money and asked him to do something for them, because it is not written. Nobody ever came up to him and had to give him money first before he did anything. Just stupid.
Verse 4 through 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together. See, God gave us a love and a mercy and a grace that we didn't deserve. We couldn't earn. We weren't entitled to it. But he just extended it to us out of a pure love. And that's what gratitude is all about. It's really being rooted and grounded in the love of God, which causes you, first and foremost, to have this intimate love relationship with God. And out of that, then I can love myself. And from that wholeness, I have the ability to love others. So when I'm grateful, it starts with my relationship with God. And I show that back to God. That's why one of the five offerings that God requires was a gratitude offering, a thanksgiving offering. It wasn't just something that was a good idea. He said, I want you to show. Remember, favor is obedience. And obedience, because you reverence, you respect, which is felt, seen, and heard. You stand in awe of God, out of what God has done for you. The word of God clearly says in Psalm chapter 116, verse 12 through 14, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits to me? That's a question I want you to really ask yourself. And David goes on and he says in verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all of his people. Verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. He was saying there, I will give a gratitude offering. And a gratitude offering was required by the Lord to say, I want you, especially during this season where we are to reflect on the gratefulness, to be thankful for everything in our life. God was saying, I want you to think about my goodness. And in return, can we buy, can we really give God anything that is even remotely close to what he's given to us? No, but we can give our best. And I'm going to ask you right now to sow your absolute best gratitude offering. To say, Lord, I'm thankful. This seed doesn't just represent that I'm standing in covenant to advance the gospel, that I know every time I give, supernatural things happen, that I know it breaks cycles, that it releases the blessing of God, that whatever I give shall be given back to me, pressed down, shaken down, running together. But this is different. When I call and pick up that phone right now, I'm going to give a seed that signifies the gratitude of who you are in my life. Right now, what is the value of God and his blessing? And as you pick up the phone and you dial that number, I want you to let the operator and the prayer partner standing by know what you're grateful for. As you sow, I want you to send up a signal to heaven and say, I am grateful, God, for this in my life. Because what you appreciate, appreciate. And for your gift of any size, I'm going to bless you with a single audio CD on an attitude of gratitude. For your gift of $50 or more, I'm going to give you my CD or DVD series on the attitude of gratitude. I break it down line by line. I take you in the principles of it. I go through what blocks it, what's not releasing abundance. Because there's a place, prosperity and abundance is a place in the realm of the spirit. It's not just money. Poverty is a spirit. And you can be bankrupt and impoverished spiritually, emotionally, financially, or you can be abundant and prosperous spiritually, emotionally, financially. And it really is your decision which you're going to live from. But I will take you on the path and I will show you the blessing of the Lord, how to live in abundance, how to walk in favor, what is the grace of God, how to have an attitude of gratitude, what blocks those things. I'll take you down some very practical teachings, which I'm going to do throughout this month. But I want you to get up and sow, and many of you can give more than $50. But you need to say, this is a reflection of the value of who God is and what he's done in my life. Call the toll-free number right now. But whatever you do, don't delay. What you appreciate, appreciates. And I feel a strong urgency. Delay can mean denial. When you get up and do that, you're activating, because remember, your attitude shifts an atmosphere. Your atmosphere determines your actions. You're about to shift an atmosphere. So you're saying, thank you, God. And what you've been praying for and believing for is going to come to pass. Father, I thank you as a person writes the P.O. box, as they pick up the phone and call that toll-free number right now, as they go to the website and say, yes, I'm thankful, God.
Now, that was an insane ramble. Notice how many times she snapped.
But God, who is rich in mercy. verse 4 through 5. But God
snap her fingers while she was saying that. You know, hypnotists snap their fingers when they're hypnotizing you. I don't snap my fingers when I talk. I don't know about you. How many people snap their fingers, especially when they're preaching? She's hypnotizing people. She's the power of suggestion. Delay could mean denial. In other words, if you don't jump up to, and go to the phone and send an appreciation offering. I want to know, what God are you talking about, Paula? Because I never saw Jesus ask anybody for an appreciation offering. And if Jesus didn't do it, if he didn't do it when he walked the earth, I never heard him one time collect a tithe. I never heard him one time collect a seed phase offering or a Passover offering. Which God are you talking about that requires these offerings? Your God, the devil. The devil. That's who. The devil. Because it's not God. It's not God Almighty asking people for money to do things for them. That's for sure. It's ridiculous foolishness. And now we have people like Jerry Falwell Jr. welcoming these people to a university full of young people who are looking to be trained in Bible knowledge. And what are they getting? They're getting a bunch of garbage. And then you want to send these people out. Then you want to send these young people out teaching these doctrines and calling people who are heretics women of God. Ridiculous, please. I couldn't believe the whole thing. I was shocked. I was shocked. I really was, because I didn't expect that kind of a thing from the Falwell family. Never expected it in my wildest dreams. And don't believe anything Paula White says. The only thing that we want to believe Paula White will ever say is, I repent, and I repent to the body of Christ for my heresies. And for my witchcraft and for my manipulations. That's about the only thing we want to hear from Paula White. Otherwise, turn her off. She doesn't deserve a minute of anybody's time as far as teaching the Bible. The Bible is a prop to her. It's a way to get ahead. And obviously, it's brought her to the forefront. But just like those two churches that were bulldozed and wiped off the face of the earth that she pastored, so-called, Tampa and Lakeland, God's judgment will come again. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. That's what you're going to reap. There's no doubt. You want to know about sowing and reaping? Well, that's real sowing and reaping. Don't take the Bible and use it as a prop to con people, because we're talking about Jesus dying on the cross for people's sins so they could have eternal life and they could have freedom, freedom, not bondage, not bondage. And we're talking about where people are going to spend eternity. Where are they going to spend eternity? That's what's important. And to take something that's precious and valuable and turn it into a prop and a way to pad somebody's bank account, it's despicable. It really is. It's despicable. And we have to shun these kind of preachers and encourage other people to shun them too. Let's listen to one more clip here. Paula White, the person that Jerry Falwell Jr. calls a woman of God and such a godly example to the Trump family. Well, obviously the Trump family never watched her program either. They never watched it either. Obviously they never saw her and her husband preach the sermon telling people to watch porn.
Hey, I want to talk to you about something that's really important to God. And if it's important to God, I think it should be important to us. It's the principle of first fruits. And you might be saying, first fruits, what in the world is that? Well, it's the principle that all first belong to God. So whether it's the firstborn, it's the first of your increase, it's the first hours of your day, it's the first day of the week, the first month of the year, all first belong to God. When Jesus is talking in Matthew chapter 6, and he's saying, hey, don't take any thought about these things, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, how you're going to drink. And those are pretty basic necessities to our life that I think we take thought of. And that word take no thought means don't be overly anxious or carefully anxious. Like, don't have anxiety. Don't stress out. Don't worry. Don't fret. And he's basically saying your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. So if he knows that we have need of them, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, clearly says that the plans of God for us are to prosper us. And prosperity is not just like, oh, I'll make you rich. Prosperity means to break forth, to break through, to break out. If God's plan is to prosper us, not to harm us, not to do us evil, but to give us an expected end, which means the desired result, and God has good plans for my life, and he knows what I have need of, then how do I see my needs get met? Now, the thing that I want to stress is motives are so important to God, because you can have two people that do the same thing, but the intention of the heart is very different in them. And the intention and the motive, to me, has to be, according to the word of God, and I believe to God, very pure. In other words, I honor you, God. I'm not just doing this to get. I'm not just doing this for selfish reasons. Although, following the principles of God and the patterns of God bring back the results and the rewards that God's word says. So he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all these things, your everyday needs, your human concerns, they'll be taken care of. So if I'm to seek first the kingdom of God, first means first in time, place, position, foremost, chief. It means fundamental, which is an essential or a basis for building all structure. If I'm to seek as a foundation or a fundamental the kingdom of God, which means God's way of doing things, if I'm to seek that first, and then all these things will be added unto me, I really have to understand what is the kingdom of God and what are his first fruits and what belongs to him. The Bible lays it out from Genesis to Revelation. He clearly says, and I like Romans chapter 11, verse 6, it says it like this. It declares, for if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. So in other words, whatever is used as the first governs what happens to all the rest. So let me bring that down to everyday living. However I wake up in the morning and I set my first hours of the day, it's going to govern the rest of the day. Whatever I do with my first day of the week, it's going to govern the rest of the week. Whatever I do with the first month of the year governs the rest of the year. That's why the tithe, which is 10% of your gross income, the first tenth, not any tenth, belongs to the Lord, because it's holy and it belongs to God. So when you honor God with it, it redeems or removes what the Bible refers to as the curse, removes that which is unholy off of it. So when I bring to God what is known as a first fruits offering at the beginning of the year, because for most of us in the Western world, we follow a calendar where our beginning is January. And in this first month, when you say, God, I'm putting you first in my relationships, in my spirit, in my heart, in my mind, in my career, in my business, in my dream, I'm putting you first before my problems, before anything else, in my finances. And we honor God with a first fruits offering. Now, first fruits is different because it's not just a portion, it's the whole of. So for some, it might be a week's pay, wherever your faith is. I personally tend to give a month, the entire month's salary, and I say, God, I honor you with this because I recognize that all first belong to you. Maybe it's a day's wage, but you honor God with that. Then you set in motion the principle of first fruits, and that is that what you do with the first governs what happens to the rest. You are literally invoking God's presence throughout this year. There's so much I want to teach you on. I've written a book about it, First Things First. It's the principles of first fruits, because there's a difference between a first fruit offering, first fruit season, principle first fruit. But the bottom line, to get a clear understanding of how to bring your life into alignment with seeing God's promises come to pass, then you have to put God first in all things. You can click on right now. There's a, I think, button right there that you can get more information, or bring your first fruits offering. There are articles about it on the web. You can get understanding so that you can get this book. And when you sow that first fruits offering, maybe you want to write the P.O. box and do it, or even call the toll-free number and give your first fruits offering. I will send to you my book explaining everything about putting God first, the principles of it, understanding first fruits, what it is. And then for your gift, I say gift, but it really truly is an offering of honoring to God in this case. For your honoring of God with the first fruits offering of $75 or more, and I hate to put a price on it, but I that simply because it costs us money to print the materials, to ship them out to you. I'll get you the book of First Fruits, First Things First, and it explains everything. It's a phenomenal book, along with a brand new devotion that I've written for the beginning of this year for you to have this year round, along with the 2016 calendar. So again, you can write the P.O. box, call the toll-free number, or just click on that button right there, right on that link on that website, and it'll take you right to everything. I'm praying for you that this year is different than other years you've had in the past, that you really, truly say, God, I want to put you first in all things.
No, it's more like put Paula first, because you have to send the money to her. Imagine asking somebody for 1 month's salary. 1 month. Plus tithes, offerings, seed-based gifts. Yikes, those people, they never get a rest. Those poor people over there, they're like hypnotized zombies at Paula White's so-called church that she's never there, that they're paying her a salary to be there, but she's never there. She pops in maybe once a month to take up offerings, but you know, the Bible talks about rebuking people, because I know we hear this from people who say, well, don't judge. Well, I have to be able to judge what's good and what's evil. I have to be able to do that. I have to be able to judge righteously what somebody is saying, especially about the Word of God. And Ecclesiastes 7:5 says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Proverbs 28:23, he that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Proverbs 27:5, open rebuke is better than secret love. So open rebuke is better than secret love. You can tell people, look, what do you do with these verses here about rebuking? The Bible tells us to rebuke. The Bible tells us to rebuke. 1 Timothy 5:20. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. So what are we supposed to do with that scripture? Titus 2:15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And then 2 Peter 2:16, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Oh, imagine that. That the dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. And that's what we're doing, because Paula White calls herself a prophetess, but just like this scripture says, rebuke and forbid the madness of the prophet, because this is a false prophet. This is a woman that has led many people astray and continues to seduce and to lead men, especially these men that are in leadership positions. Dr. James Dobson, who supposedly is a esteemed man of God, and he puts out this story that he didn't know for sure, but he heard that Paula White led Donald Trump to the Lord. Well, how can somebody that doesn't know Jesus herself lead anybody to the Lord, let alone Donald Trump? And unless I hear it from his mouth, when I hear it from Donald Trump's mouth himself saying, I am born again, I don't care what anybody else says, because I don't need anybody to speak for me, and I'm sure he doesn't need anybody else to speak for him. But they put that story out because they wanted people to think that maybe he might be a Christian. And they put it out from the most unreliable source possible, coming from Paula White. And then even James Dobson was so seduced that he bought into it himself. That's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. I can hardly believe it myself. I'm dumbfounded sometimes at the state of the so-called church that we see, but, you know, we thank God that we have a remnant, and God's people, we want the truth. We want the truth of the Word of God. We want to be Christians, and the Bible says that they'll know that we are Christians by our love one for another. And we do things for each other because we love each other, not because we want something in return. Remember when the Apostle Paul, and I think he was leaving the Isle of Malta in the book of Acts, and he's leaving and his friends gather around him and they're hanging on his neck and they're crying because they don't want him to leave because they loved him. And he said to them, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And they knew it in their heart. That's why they loved him so much, because he was a giver. And he gave because he loved people, not because he wanted something. And that kind of Christianity we have to tear down. It's caused a terrible plight in the church today, this teaching of selfishness. And We have to tear it down. We have to see changes. And the only way that we're going to see changes is for each and every one of us to take a stand for the truth of God's word and what it is to be a Christian. Like I said, this is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And we remember people like John Wycliffe, who translated the Bible. We remember people like Martin Luther, who also wrote a translation in German. He was hunted like an animal by the Catholic Church because he came against selling miracles for money, basically. John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, people that gave their lives to translate the Bible so people could have Bibles so they could know the truth. We want to stand for the truth of God's word. We want to see the Reformation finished and for people to serve God with all their heart because they love God and we love what he did for us. Who else gave their life for us? Who else gave us a brand new life? A life of peace, a life of joy. Nobody could give us that kind of peace that we have, knowing that our future is secure, knowing that one day when we leave this earth, heaven will be our home, that we're only passing through here. We're pilgrims, aliens, the Bible calls us, strangers in a strange land, and even more so in the days to come. But we pray for these people that they will repent of their sins and come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus, ask him to come into your life today. ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Jesus said in the third chapter of John, and Jesus said this, this wasn't something that some preacher said. Jesus said, be born again. Jesus said it. First, you're born of your mother, and then you're born again of the Spirit of God. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Repent of your sins. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. There's none righteous, no, not one. There was only one righteous person that ever walked this earth, and that was Jesus Christ. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. And we see today, we see how people call good evil and evil good, and they want lawlessness above law. Oh, the world's a mess. And it's up to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to take a stand and to be a light to a dark world, to be salt in this earth. Read the book of Romans today. The book of Romans says confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. He will forgive you. And he'll forget about it too. You'll get a brand new life. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Let me know how you like the new equipment. I'm so glad to have this new microphone. It's a blessing. And we're going to try to improve this year and make better quality productions. So anyway, I want to thank God for all his blessings today. Don't forget to tune into Rapture Ready Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And my programs are all archived, all the ones that we've done, many hundreds of programs actually over the years. So God bless you all, and thanks for tuning in. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. God bless you too, okay? Bye-bye.